Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here ends our reading. We continue with the singing of our hymn. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Communication is a two-way street, isn't it? I remember driving one time, and I was deep in thought, and it's one of those times where you drive, 50 miles and you can't remember all the stop signs and things when you get there. And I was driving like that, and I remember these words beginning to penetrate my consciousness. And those words were something like this. I must be talking to myself. I think I'm just talking to myself. I am just talking to myself. That was my wife, trying to see how long she could say something before I finally realized she was talking to me. And effective communication is a two-way street, isn't it? And it's a similar situation in our relationship with God. He has spoken to us, and he still speaks to us in his word every time we hear it, every time we pick it up and read it. And then he invites us to speak to him in prayer. Not only that, but he has actually defined for us some of the things that he would like for us to do in prayer. For example, he says, pray without ceasing, so that I know my heart is supposed to be in constant contact day by day with God all through the day. We are to praise him, Scripture says. And of course, we do that when we sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. We were doing that just a moment ago, weren't we? But then he also instructs us to pray for our special needs, right? And I say special needs because we need him all the time. If he were to diminish his presence from us for just a moment, we would cease to breathe and cease to exist. And so we need him all the time, but he invites us to pray to him at special times. And I'd like to comment on that for just a couple of minutes. Not so much a law of gospel kind of a message today, but just some comments on prayer, a couple of things. And the first one is this: how wonderful it is that God would even know we are talking to him, right? What a wonderful thing it is that he would allow us to intrude upon his consciousness. And he does. He says to piddly little me, call upon me in the day of trouble, he says, and I will answer you. Or I will deliver you and you will honor me, is actually what he says. You know, that is more than just an invitation. That's a promise right there, isn't it? And what is so incredible about this is that God asks us to call to him, and he is willing to alter the course of future events because we have called upon him. Isn't that an amazing thing? Right? He's willing to alter the direction of the events that would normally take place. Not only does he do that, but I would betcha that in this room there are eyewitnesses to that very fact. Haven't you had that experience? Haven't you ever had a time when your burdens or your experiences or decisions or just something that you faced in life was so daunting you did not even know how to begin to solve it? The only thing you could do was fall on your face before God and say, Lord, help me, just like Peter did when he was sinking in the water. And this happened in such a way that, things just turned out, right? You've had that experience. I've had that experience. In fact, I've had that experience multiple times, and I'll bet you have too. God says to us to make our requests known to him. So that's the first comment. He is willing to listen and he's willing to answer our prayers. What an amazing thing that is. But then the second comment is this: God always answers our prayers. Of course, we know that. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait a while. But then here is the second comment. When you're not praying for some spiritual blessing, right? Like for the salvation of somebody that you know, or that you would grow in your faith or something. We know God's going to answer those because he promises already. He wants, that's his will to do that kind of thing. But when you're praying for the temporal things of this life, right? The burdens that you have day by day. Follow the example that Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer and say, thy will be done. And there's a good reason for that. Because you and I cannot see all the ramifications of what would happen if God were to answer the prayers that we ask on a day-to-day basis, right? Sometimes I ask for things that may not be good for me, that may not be good for someone else. So I'll give you a silly example, right? Let's say you're about to go on a 3-week vacation, and so you pray, Lord, give me good weather for 3 weeks, would you? kind of a selfish prayer, isn't it? But give me good weather. Give me sunshine for 3 weeks, right? Now, do you really want it on your conscience that you just destroyed the crop of 10,000 farmers out there, and right, who are in desperate need for that rain, right? Well, no, but see, that's what I mean. We cannot see the ramifications of all the things we pray for, even things we think have no ramifications except upon us personally may have ramifications that we cannot see. Because not only can we not see immediately around us, but we can't see the future either. But God can. And that's why we say, "Thy will be done." Because He knows everything, right? He knows how to answer that prayer. And so make your request known, but then say, "Well, Lord, Thy will be done." Just like He instructs us to do that. But then how do we know we can depend upon Him to answer those prayers? Well, remember what Jesus said. He said, if a child asks his father for an egg, is his father going to give him a scorpion? Well, no, the answer is implied, right? Of course not. Well, God has made you His child, right? He's adopted you as His child, and He's done that by the very blood of His own Son. Right? And the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross gave you the right to be called a child of God. And it is because of that blood that God will not ignore your pleas. He will not ignore your prayer. He will answer them. And so you can be confident that when you go to God in prayer, He will give you the outcome that is best. Amen. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh God, whose will is done even without our prayer, we pray that it may be done also among us and by us. To this end, we pray that You would frustrate and bring to naught every evil counsel and purpose, such as the will of the devil, the world, and even our own sinful flesh, which would hinder the hallowing of Thy name and prevent the coming of Thy kingdom. Strengthen and keep us steadfast in Your word and in faith even unto the end. Let this, Your good and gracious will be done. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.